You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode, kicking off a fresh week here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Whether you're listening on your favorite podcast provider or watching on YouTube, thank you very much for being here. And don't forget that we're here with you every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and don't forget to let them know that Locked On sent you. On today's episode, this one's simple. We're talking about Julio Jones, who is on his way to the Tennessee Titans. Not the perfect scenario for the New Orleans Saints, who will face off with the Titans week 10 of the 2021 season, but still good news for New Orleans. So on today's episode, we're going to be answering three big questions. What does the Julio Jones trade mean for the New Orleans Saints? What does it mean for the NFC South? And what does it mean as we project forward throughout the rest of the offseason? What to watch for as the offseason continues? As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, co-managing editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Now, as we get started with today's episode, this is going to be a fun one. I mean, this news breaking on Sunday, Cody Rourke and I live on Locked On NFL Sunday at the time with Tyler Rowland, host of Locked On Titans, and we got his live reaction during all that, but I didn't really get to give my live reaction to it in terms of how it affects the New Orleans Saints, and this is simple. It's a perfect situation for the New Orleans Saints, almost, right? Would have been a perfect situation to have him end up in Baltimore, who the Saints don't play in 2021, but this sets up very well for the New Orleans Saints. This affects New Orleans in three ways in particular. First of all, no more Julio Jones in the NFC South. That's good news for the Saints. However, they fared very well against the seven-time Pro Bowl wide receiver, who only caught three touchdowns in his career against the Saints, hasn't caught one against New Orleans since the 2006 NFL season, which I had to double, triple, quadruple check to make sure was correct. And you look at the fact that he actually had more fumbles and more tackles against the Saints than he had career touchdowns. Things have actually fared pretty well against him. Now, the thing that will be really interesting is how the Arthur Smith offense evolves, especially with Kyle Pitts being a part of that attack. Now, will Kyle Pitts be used at a greater rate, specifically in the red zone, than what we saw Julio Jones use and the way that he was utilized there over the last three seasons? Over those last 3 years, Julio Jones had fewer red zone targets than 16 players across the NFL, including both Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, who played right around the same number of games as Julio Jones. Julio Jones with 40 in that span, Michael Thomas with 41, Alvin Kamara with 44. You can also look at his completion percentage, of which he had a lower completion percentage than 19 players across the NFL, and with only 10 red zone touchdowns, that was fewer than 29 in the last 3 years. In 2020 alone, if you look at the usage of Jonnu Smith in Arthur Smith's offense, for which he was the offensive coordinator, of course, with the Tennessee Titans, this is sort of the role that you could expect to see Kyle Pitts utilized in, who can also flex both inside and out. During that 2020 season, Jonnu Smith had fewer red zone targets than only 8 players across the NFL and had fewer red zone touchdowns than only 4. So he got a lot more usage in the red zone. I think you can expect to see that for Kyle Pitts, which could be potentially bad news for the New Orleans Saints, who struggled in the red zone quite a bit during the 2020 NFL season, particularly early on in the year. So maybe you're going to see that same type of usage for Kyle Pitts, certainly something to look out for the New Orleans Saints. But ultimately, coverage-wise and defense-wise, the Saints kind of finish here exactly where they started off. And that's a bit of a win, because the combination of Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, Hayden Hurst, Russell Gage, and Kyle Pitts being added to that with the fourth overall selection in 2021, that was going to be a challenge for them to figure out how to cover, especially with youth at all three levels of the defense for the Saints. Now, they kind of go from Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones to Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. They kind of end up in a familiar situation here, and that's good news for New Orleans. Now, this also means, and this is another way that this affects New Orleans Saints, is that they just watched the Atlanta Falcons free up $15 million of salary cap space. That means that the Atlanta Falcons now have the money to go out there and improve their defense or potentially improve their wide receiver room, We'll talk more about that here in a moment when we get to the final portion of today's show as we look ahead to the offseason or throughout the rest of the offseason. But the Saints are still in need of some improvements over on their own as well. So can the Saints improve at a higher rate than the Atlanta Falcons improve with this new money? We'll talk about that here in just a moment. The other and final part about how this really affects New Orleans Saints is that it does put them in a position to where they get to take advantage of a steeper learning curve for the Atlanta Falcons in 2021. You have a rookie head coach, you have an offense now in Atlanta that's going to have to find a new identity because Julio Jones was very much that identity. Meanwhile, the Saints defense can focus a bit more over on Calvin Ridley, who's kind of been wide receiver one, quote unquote, for them for the past couple of seasons anyway, with or without Julio Jones. So Calvin Ridley becomes the big focus for this defense, and that could help the Saints to just have the one option that they really need to pay attention to, because we have to remember that Kyle Pitts is coming into the NFL as a tight end. And again, it's very rare that a rookie tight end makes a humongous impact for the team that drafted him. Yes, he was drafted fourth overall, but does that signify that he's going to be a better player, or could that have been a big mistake by the Atlanta Falcons? I think there's still time to, of course, figure that out. Maybe he's going to play a little bit more outside. If that does that steepen his learning curve a little bit if he's playing more so outside than inside? And regardless, it doesn't really factor in too much with the New Orleans Saints finding a ton of success against the Atlanta Falcons when it comes to the pass rush. If they can still keep Matt Ryan rattled, having fewer options works to the New Orleans Saints' advantage. So we'll continue to talk a bit more about this now. We're going to flip it up a little bit, maybe widen the scope a bit, and look at how this trade affects the NFC South as a whole as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If I were you, I highly recommend keeping an eye on betonline.ag for the future win totals for the 2021 season for NFL teams. Right now, the Atlanta Falcons are off the board, but once they go back on the board, I think they're probably going to have dropped a little bit in terms of their expected win total. Another thing that proves beneficial for the New Orleans Saints in terms of projecting ahead to next season. But if you want to take a look at that as well as other win totals across the NFL, including the New Orleans Saints, who sit at 8.5 at the time that I'm recording this, go ahead and check them out over at betonline.ag and get in on the action. It's free to sign up. And when you put the money down so that you can begin to bet, I'm going to let you know how you can get a 50% welcome bonus. It's nice and simple. Just make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all one word, and that's going to give you a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. So go and check them out. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Following the trade of Julio Jones from Atlanta to Tennessee, it kind of solidifies the fact that the NFC South still belongs to either the New Orleans Saints or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's all going to come down to whether or not Tampa Bay can maintain their success from last season and, of course, how the quarterback situation and defensive situations both pan out for the New Orleans Saints. This is a pretty big identifier for what the NFC South might shake out to look like next year. You have a quarterback in Matt Ryan with the Atlanta Falcons who hasn't looked great here recently, although he's had some nice moments, but he's only getting older and he doesn't project as maybe one of those quarterbacks like Tom Brady, like Drew Brees, like Aaron Rodgers maybe to play into his 40s. It seems that there were already conversations with this team, or at least around this team from the national media perspective, that perhaps it was time for them to begin to look at moving on from Matt Ryan. And in that case, when they had the fourth overall selection and Justin Fields was still on the board, that was their perfect opportunity to do so. But instead, they went with Kyle Pitts. So now they may be in a situation where they've passed on a quarterback right before executing a move that might trigger a bit of a rebuild for them. And that would be something that would be indicative by, or at least indicated by, what they do with the $15 million that they just brought in, right? Or that they just opened up with this trade, sending Julio Jones to Tennessee. Now, of course, you can check out Aaron Freeman over at Locked On Falcons. He's going to be talking about all of this. But I do know that not a lot of Falcons fans and not a lot of Falcons media has been very gung-ho about the idea of trading Julio Jones. They also haven't been super gung-ho about the draft selection of Kyle Pitts. Now, Kyle Pitts, not a bad consolation prize by any means, but a lot of folks were hoping that this was a team that was going to reload at the quarterback position right off the bat here going into 2021 so that they're ready to transition to another quarterback in the midst of a rebuild. But now they're going to be searching for a quarterback when the rebuild begins. So this is going to be a little pretty interesting season to watch the Atlanta Falcons. And that puts the Saints and the Bucs in a little bit more of a comfortable position, right? You have the Carolina Panthers, who are still trying to develop identity. They transferred to an unsuccessful quarterback that they're hoping they're going to be able to revitalize at some point, which is always a bit of a risky move. And then now you have a declining quarterback in Matt Ryan, who maybe it's a little bit unfair to say declining. Let me say an aging quarterback in Matt Ryan, who might start to show depleted returns after a little bit, or at least depleting returns. And in that case, you've now traded away the biggest weapon and safety blanket, security blanket for a quarterback like that. Although, you know, Julio Jones did miss 8 games last year with injury, still, or excuse me, 7 games with injury. They were not in a 17-game season yet. I've already converted all my math to 17-game seasons. But any discomfort, really, that the Atlanta Falcons feel now doesn't have the safety and security of having a Julio Jones and this receiver that you can always rely on. Now, as I mentioned, he was underutilized a bit in the red zone, but he certainly wasn't underutilized in the in between the 20s, right? And now you've shipped him off to a team where he's going to thrive probably in both, right? Tennessee is probably going to utilize Julio Jones a bit more in the red zone, just like you saw Jonnu Smith utilized a ton in the red zone, particularly in the 2020 season, regardless of the fact that Arthur Smith is no longer there. So now Atlanta's dealing with a bunch of discomfort, question marks, transitionary periods for rookies that are coming in and young players that are coming in, young veterans, if you will, and they don't have either the answer at the biggest position at the quarterback spot or the safety blanket and security blanket that may be necessary to keep that spot feeling comfortable if Matt Ryan continues there. And the running game, don't get me wrong, Mike Davis is no slouch, but the running game might start to see a little bit of a walk back as well, just like we saw last year during 2020 with Todd Gurley. So it's going to be very interesting to watch the way that the NFC South unfolds. But could this end up being a move that puts Atlanta into the bottom of the division? Yes. Is this move something that's going to project them to the top of the division? Very hard to say yes to that, right? It's really, really easy to say no to one of those as opposed to the other. So I look at Atlanta right now as being a team that wins maybe 7 games. And I happen to know that a lot of Falcons folks and Falcons analysts kind of agree with that and see it the same way. Now, how they decide to utilize the money that they just opened up or looking ahead to the rest of the offseason, that's definitely going to have a bit of an effect on what that win projection might be. That's what we're going to talk about next. We continue on talking about the Julio Jones trade, how it affects New Orleans Saints, the NFC South. Now we'll look ahead to what the Saints need to do in order to counteract what the Falcons might be doing with opening up $15 million throughout the rest of the offseason. We'll talk about that as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. One thing you never have to worry about coming up short, though, Built Bar. Our good friends over at BuiltBar.com, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You know, just for fun, I've tried a couple of other protein bars, a few that I've seen pop up that look a lot like Built Bars because, you know, Built Bar is kind of running the market right now on the protein bar game. And nothing really lives up to what Built Bar has to offer. 9 very, very specific and unique flavors that you're really only going to be able to find at Built Bar. If you find them anywhere else, they never taste like what they say they taste like, right? They say peanut butter chocolate, but they don't really taste like peanut butter chocolate. They kind of taste like peanut butter chalk more than anything else, but not with Built Bar. You get exactly what it is that you pay for. And the best part about getting what you pay for is that you ain't got to pay that much to get the best on the market when it comes to BuiltBar.com because it's also very affordable. And I'm going to help you out with a little bit. You can get 15% off by using the promo code LOCKED15 at checkout so that you get 15% off of that purchase at BuiltBar.com. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. Go and check them out. Don't forget the promo code LOCKED15. That's 15. Use the numerals at BuiltBar.com for 15% off. And also check out our friends over at RockAuto.com. At this point in the summer, make sure that you have everything in order. You got your oil change, you got your batteries good, everything's fine. Because once the heat starts bearing down on your car, especially like me, and if you don't have covered parking or anything like that, then your car might undergo some problems. So get ahead of all of that. Make sure everything's good. And if you have to change out anything, you need any parts, pieces, accessories, anything like that, head over to rockauto.com, get it for a fraction of the price is what you're going to get at any of those chain stores around the corner. You can do it on your time from the comfort of your own home, have it delivered safely to your door, and you can take care of it all on your own. And if you don't know how to make the changes, jump on YouTube. There's a YouTube tutorial for everything. You'll be able to figure it out, find it, and get it done safely and affordably thanks to rockauto.com. And when you do it, don't forget to let them know that Locked On sent you. But right in Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us section, right below the shipping information at checkout, it's Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Get it, Hoodat Nation, wrapping up the first episode of the week. Remember, we're here with you. Today's Monday. We'll be back with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday here all throughout the week, 5 days a week, getting you caught up with everything you need to know around the New Orleans Saints. Today, we're talking about something that affects the New Orleans Saints, the Julio Jones trade. Julio Jones traded from the Atlanta Falcons to the Tennessee Titans. And as the offseason continues, two things can happen. The Atlanta Falcons can bounce back and rebuild, or the New Orleans Saints can create some distance. Let's talk about how that can happen. Atlanta just opened up $15 million of cap space, 15 plus, right? 15 point something, something. So with that being the case, they can now go out there and work to improve their defense. They can use some help at the secondary, whether it's corner or safety, use some help in the pass rush as well. Really, the only sure thing when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons defense are the linebackers, and specifically is Deion Jones, right? And Deion Jones has given New Orleans Saints fans and New Orleans Saints a ton of headaches already. So building around him is what you would expect to see the Atlanta Falcons do. Now, could they go out there and poach a guy like Richard Sherman, who was reportedly in talks with New Orleans Saints at some point? That could happen. We just watched Bashaud Breeland unfortunately sign with the Minnesota Vikings. He was somebody that I felt was the perfect fit for the New Orleans Saints if they decided they wanted to go to that cornerback market, the veteran cornerback market. And there are others out there that might be a better fit for the Atlanta Falcons than they are for the New Orleans Saints. So that's definitely something to keep an eye out on. You have a pass rusher like Melvin Ingram still out on the market, although I will say the Falcons have not had a great track record or great luck with free agent pass rushers as we've seen over the past few years. But if they decide not to bolster the defense and instead want to go with adding on to the firepower over on the offensive side, which they would absolutely need to do if they don't get this defense fixed, that defense is going to give up a ton of points. So they need to be able to score on the offensive side. They could look at a guy like Golden Tate. They could potentially go a little bit younger. They could look at some more firepower at the wide receiver position to help themselves bolster a bit or gain back some of the production that they lost with Julio Jones. And then you're going to need Kyle Pitts to get the rest of that production back, right? But Kyle Pitts, Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, you're probably pretty comfortable there. But if you don't want to have to keep flexing Kyle Pitts outside, you might need another receiver to be a part of that conversation. So keep an eye out on the Falcons to use some of that new money to either go out there and improve the defense, which would be very wise of them, or to go out and improve the offense, in which case, get ready for some shootouts with the Atlanta Falcons. But alternatively, the Saints could also create more distance. So that's how the Falcons can get better. Let's say that the New Orleans Saints, though, get their extension done with Ryan Ramczyk, or potentially even Marcus Williams, who has an earlier timeline because they have to get any type of long-term deal done with him by July 5th. Otherwise, he has to play 2021 on the franchise tag and become a free agent at the end of the year, unless they franchise tag him again for a second time. But they might be saving next year's franchise tag for Marshawn Lattimore, something to watch there if they don't do an extension with him this offseason. But either way, if they get anything done with Ryan Ramczyk or Marcus Williams, they would also open up some cap space, not only to sign their rookie class, which is something that the Atlanta Falcons also need to do, by the way, but they could go out there and potentially look for a veteran corner, maybe invest in a veteran interior defensive lineman like Geno Atkins. Reportedly, several teams are interested in Geno Atkins. He did spend some time with the Cowboys and they're waiting on his medical checks to come back and make sure that he's going to be cleared by, I believe the date was July 1st, if I remember correctly. So something to watch for there, a potential another veteran that the Saints could potentially be interested in if they're one of those teams. But either way, improving the cornerback position, going out there and checking out and seeing what's available on the interior defensive line, those are ways that the New Orleans Saints could create some distance if the Atlanta Falcons don't make the right moves with the new money that they've just opened up after this trade. Another thing to watch out for that could be a very interesting scenario for the New Orleans Saints and great for the Locked On Saints brand, not just me, but for the listeners as well who were hype about this player coming into the NFL draft. All of a sudden, Racy McMath, who was drafted by the Tennessee Titans, former LSU Tiger, is in a very crowded wide receiver room. And even though the Saints don't tend to draft LSU players, they certainly look for them in free agency and undrafted free agency as well, of course. But Maybe that's a name to remind yourselves of at some point throughout the preseason cuts. Remember, it'll be 5-5, and then they'll go all the way down to 53 after the final preseason game. But maybe a name to keep an eye out on, because he's going to be a fantastic special teamer, but might be a little harder for the Tennessee Titans to keep him around. He hasn't been signed to his rookie contract yet, and the Tennessee Titans are picking up all of Julio Jones's contract, the money that's moving with Julio Jones, and the Atlanta Falcons aren't picking up a bit of it aside from what they are required to do so. So might make it a little bit tough to keep all of those players around. So something to watch out for there. And finally, something to keep an eye out on potentially during this offseason, but more likely moving forward, is what the Atlanta Falcons do with the 2022 second round pick and the 2023 fourth round picks that they acquired in this trade. It might be too late for them to address, might be too little too late for them to address the quarterback position once it becomes a need, but it could potentially give them the draft capital to get involved in potential trade conversations at a later time down the line. So something to watch there, because they might get desperate at the quarterback position in just about a year from now. All right, y'all. Thank you very much for being here for another episode of Locked On Saints. We'll be back tomorrow, Twitter Tuesday. Want to get your thoughts on how the Atlanta Falcons are going to do now that they have traded away Julio Jones. So feel free to drop stuff in the YouTube comments, and watch out, of course, at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter for the questions so you can get in on tomorrow's action for Twitter Tuesday. And of course, we'll also keep you up to date with everything going on with your New Orleans Saints. Now that you're done here, if you want to know more about this trade for Julio Jones headed to the Tennessee Titans from the Atlanta Falcons, make sure you check out Peter Bukowski and the local experts over at Locked On Today. 20 minutes, everything you need around the world of sports, wherever you get your podcast. As always, y'all, I appreciate you so much for rating, reviewing, listening, watching, commenting, subscribing, everything that you do to help support the show and to support this family, help it grow. I appreciate you so, so much. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them, and trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.